Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The big pink bus is coming to Bozeman, Montana. Concerned Women for America are holding a rally in Bozeman later today. Tonight, we'll tell you about that. We've got Penny Nance, the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America, along with Heather Nauert, former Fox News personality, Trump State Department spokeswoman as well. They'll be with us later on in the hour. And then on top of that, recount. There's a recount currently underway taking place in Butte, Montana. A recount of the elections that took place almost 3 months ago. Lots to talk about this morning, but great to have John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us. John, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking around.
Always.
Yeah, good to see you. I thought we could do a random start here this morning. Our friend Michael Foth did a story that I shared on our Montana Talks website. What are the greenest states in the entire country? The greenest states in the entire U.S.? Apparently, an outfit called Cartridge Save looked at the following criteria: air and water quality, renewable energy consumption, pounds per capita recycled, greenhouse gas emissions, national parks, average commute time by car, registered electric vehicles, and the proportion of farmland area to determine the rankings. That was their criteria, but guess what? We are among the top in the entire country. South Dakota is number one when it comes to greenest states in the U.S. North Dakota is number six, and we came in at number nine. Look at that. One of the greenest states in the country right here. Maybe they'll finally leave us the heck alone. I doubt it.
That's just not going to work for me, Aaron. I'm telling you that right. Okay. At the break, when the break comes up, I'm going to go down and start my car down here in the parking lot, first of all. And I'm going to get my tire fire going again as well, because we just can't have that.
We've got to improve our numbers here.
Yeah, we got it. Those are rookie numbers. Got to bump those numbers.
This is
up,
embarrassing, right? It is what you're saying.
It really is.
Now, who would brag about being one of the greenest states in the country? This is an embarrassment.
And are they trying to say we actually have people that own electric cars here? Are you kidding me?
There's a few of them. They work for Tool and across town, you know, if you're trying to haul a truckload full of wheat that you just harvested, not so much. But, you know, if you're just cruising across town, no big deal. But anyway, I just thought that was funny. Look at we've got these climate nut jobs in the state that are suing us with this Held v. Montana lawsuit. We've got these radical climate activists on our Montana Supreme Court. We're one of the greenest states in the country. Should be case dismissed all across the board, regardless of this study.
Does Fussy know about this? Have you told Ryan Fussy about this? You've got to get him on the phone and let him know we are right up there.
Old Fussy Bussy, is he still chasing down the roofing contractors across the state? What's that guy even up to?
Still calling him illegals. Yeah.
My goodness. All right. Lots to get to here. The recount in Butte and more coming up after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you got something you want to talk about, give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Yeah, it's great to have John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house joining us on the show here. But, yeah, feel free to jump in on the conversation if you got something you want to talk about as well. Here is an excerpt. This is from the NBC Montana report previewing the election recount that is should be currently underway in Silver Bow, in Butte, Silver Bow County right now.
A thorough audit conducted after certification on June 18th, found errors in every precinct, with as many as 1,000 absentee ballots accidentally counted twice, with human error the likely culprit.
I think it was a mistake. I'm glad that we did the audit and found the mistake and to move forward and get, like I said, make sure that the results are accurate.
All right, now I'll get you some updated numbers specifically here. I got a chance to catch up with State Senator Teresa Manzella earlier this morning, along with State Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka, before they're in monitoring this election recount right now as we speak. But, yeah, John, it's just crazy. That primary election was over 2.5 months ago. And I love that soundbite there from that county official. Well, we're glad that we did this audit and found these errors. Actually, it wasn't the county that did the audit and found the errors. This was a citizen watchdog group that has been, you know, pulling data, requesting data, paying for data in certain circumstances, and doing their own audits. It was citizens that did this, not the local government.
So, yeah, we you got a mouse in your pocket, you know. But like, Butte is a solid blue bastion. Am I correct on that? Now, have you ever noticed how all these mistakes, these oopsies, they tend to happen in these Democrat districts? And it's always, now we're going to see with this recount how many of these thousands went to the advantage of Democrats. We'll wait and see on that.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I know Senator Cuff and Senator Manzella, they were very careful to be clear that, hey, Butte is not being targeted here. In fact, we've got several counties where similar issues may have already been identified or could be identified. So it could be as many as over a dozen different counties across Montana where similar issues have been identified. And again, this isn't just an election integrity group saying, hey, we think we've got a problem here. This is an election integrity group of citizens who said, hey, we've got a problem here. And a district judge ordered a recount based off of the problems that they found. Here is State Senator Teresa Manzella earlier this morning. Yesterday, they basically counted the ballots. Today, they're going to do a count of all the votes within those ballots, the recount of the actual elections. But here's what she had to say with some of the latest numbers.
We've got 56 counties that have 56 different processes. So we formed a citizens group, and we've got leads in 20 counties that are interfacing with their election administrators and building relationships, and we bought a subscription to the voter rolls, and we're downloading that information daily, and that gives us the opportunity to watch the changes in the voter rolls. And it was actually that process and our data analyst Dave Nims who brought this to Linda's attention, brought the discrepancies between what they turned in as primary numbers as compared to what the Secretary of State's database shows. And so, yeah, there's over 1,000 difference in the difference. And so that's what constituted the recount. And, again, Linda has recognized that there is a problem and that it needs to be addressed and we need to fix it. Now, yesterday, comparing their numbers from the original primary election to yesterday's recount, we found 196 ballots difference. Then the in-person voting went up 860, and the absentee, went down by 1,197. So obviously there's some interesting things there.
All right, so basically one of the things I clarified is that, so you heard a few different numbers thrown in there. As I clarified it with them, we're talking about around 200 ballots themselves. But with all of the various elections that were on that primary ballot, you're looking at 1,000 votes for various different elections. So that's the numbers. But again, that could change today when they do the deep dive.
Aaron, in my job, I had occasion to a whole lot of times be in charge of a whole lot of cash. You know, you're talking anywhere from 300,000 up to 1.5 million, sometimes that we had seized from bad guys. And we have got to count this money. You know how many times we counted that money wrong? Never. I mean, like, never. You know why? Because it was going to be my ass if it was wrong. I was going to get accused of stealing it. It was going to be an investigation, all that. That count was right every single time. That's between $300,000 and $1.5 million. Now, if me, as a caveman cop, can manage to count that much money accurate every single time, why can't these people count the ballots?
I like that term, caveman cop, like the caveman lawyer on Saturday Night Live back
that's
in
it.
The 90s.
Yeah.
I'm just a caveman. I don't know all your crazy lawyer games.
Yeah.
By the way, for those who don't know, John Jackson, not only is he the Joker on Twitter, or X as it's known now, but a retired federal law enforcement officer as well. And so, yeah, thanks to for your service on that front. Let's get to callers on the phone lines. We've got Dave and Brockway coming up first right after the break. So, Dave, stand by. You'll be first up right after this. Now, what about those other counties where they think there might be issues in? I'll see if I can cue up what Senator Mike Cuff had to say on that very topic.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go right into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. If you got something to, you want to talk about, you can call that same number as well. Dave and Brockway, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You're talking a little bit about elections, and, you know, elections are very important. And, you know, here in Montana, we have a chance this year to put a good, solid conservative on our Supreme Court, Dan Wilson. And I go back to the primary and look at it, and he kind of came in second. But I just wanted to get the word out there. You know, Supreme Court is very important, and what happens in our court system. And I know he's a solid conservative. He'll go by the Constitution and so forth. And I also know his opponent is not that conservative. Just a thought I wanted to put out there, Aaron. I thank you for taking my call.
Hey, no, thank you.
I would say Dan Wilson for Supreme Court.
And Corey Wilson, great guy to throw in there. He's a fellow Iraq War veteran, multiple deployments under his belt. I heard, I don't know if you've heard this out in Brockway, but I heard this from Kelly Seaford, who's got the buzz in Glasgow. Maybe Wednesday. It's looking like Dan Wilson might be making a swing through through Malta, then Glasgow, and other spots. Scobie, maybe Thursday, and then over to Plentywood. But it looks like Dan Wilson's making a big swing across the High Line into northeast Montana here over the next few days. So it's a heads up for a lot of our great eastern Montana listeners there.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. 294-0970, the number for you. John, have you been following the Supreme Court elections a little bit here? I'm always pleased when I hear more people speak out about that because, you know, the Senate race, most important U.S. Senate race in the country, that's huge. All of our statewide, offices are up here from governor on down. But really, I mean, the Montana Supreme Court is this kangaroo court. They are acting like they are the sole branch of government right now. So those Supreme Court races are critical.
We've seen that now for how many years, particularly since Governor Gianforte took over. We've seen the courts all the way up from your district courts all the way up to the state Supreme Court here in Montana go out of their way to subvert the agenda that the people of Montana voted for. They are nothing but hack activists wearing robes, and it's got to stop. And you know where it needs to stop first, Aaron? You should not be able to run for elected office under this notion that it's nonpartisan. You should have to declare who you are. That's the only reason they win a lot of these offices, because they get to pretend they're nonpartisan when they're far left-wing hacks.
Well, or at least give people the freedom to have party affiliation next to their name when running for judicial offices, right? Like, we don't have to force you to have a party affiliation, but you can give people the freedom to be honest with the voters. But yeah, you're right. It's a massive deception campaign. campaign. I mean, Gustafson, who was running for re-election on the Montana Supreme Court the last go-around, kind of like fake phony John Tester, pretending to be a Republican right now, pretending to be a Trump lover right now. I mean, this is the guy who talked about punching Donald Trump in the face. This is the guy who has voted with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris every step of the way, open borders and more. But right now, he's pretending to be the biggest Trump lover out there. And Gustafson pretended to be a conservative, pretended to be a Republican. And yet she is on this anti-agriculture, pro-criminal bent. I mean, she is just a radical left-wing justice on the Montana Supreme Court.
And where we're in big trouble, too, is just who is being churned out of the law schools these days. That profession has always been dominated by leftists. But now, with the law schools indoctrinating them, say you've got, you know, 2 out of 100, 5 out of 100 people that graduate from a law school who are, say, right-leaning. How many of those people are ever going to run for office? I mean, you're pool that you can draw from goes down to nothing.
Well, and then those lawyers that are working in the business that know these judges better than anybody else, they can't really speak up and speak out because they're not allowed to criticize judges, or they could get. And why would you weigh in on a race if you might have to face that judge in a case that you're bringing? And so they operate based off of silencing any potential opposition out there. And then they've got most of the media in their back pocket to do their bidding as well. Election integrity. You know, we started off by kind of talking about election integrity here. These same left-wing Supreme Court justices and judges have also unilaterally ruled to throw out election integrity measures. John, you and I were joking earlier about how if you wanted to get into the Democrat National Convention right now, you have to show a photo ID. But yet they don't want you to be forced to show a photo ID before you vote in our elections. Back to this election integrity discussion here. So we mentioned how there is a recount underway in Butte right now. But one thing that Senator Manzella and State Senator Mike Cuff pointed out is they said, hey, look, Butte isn't being targeted here. We have other counties that may face similar issues, similar problems. And so I asked, you know, after this citizen-led effort to do this audit that then forced this recount ordered by a judge, how many other counties out there could we be talking about that are having similar issues? Here's what Mike Cuff had to say. Let me see if I queued it up in the right spot for you.
I think that Teresa used the number 14. And those are ones that clearly have come out. And some of these had a bigger margin that, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and we're talking, I'll say a little bit statistics if I can go back quite a few years to my college days, is partly what we're talking about. When we did inventories, you know, in the plywood plant, we had a percentage of variance that we could have month to month to month. And, you know, we're kind of talking in that world, and should we have a law on what the maximum variance should be before it is automatically challenged? And, you know, things will get pretty complicated, and I think we're too early to start going that way. But suffice it to say that Senator Manzella and the group she was working with, I think David Nims is one of the key persons that pure data-driven.
Anyway, so, I think what this brings up, John, is that, look, we have audits in every other organization practically out there. Private sector does routine audits. We need more of these audits of our elections. But look at how the left has consistently opposed more auditing of our elections.
You've got, like, where Z lives, over there in Michigan. Michigan has passed a law, and other of these blue states are going to this as well, to where, guess what now? Only the Secretary of State of that state can initiate any kind of investigation of an election. And of course, that Secretary of State is a deep blue Democrat operative. So how many investigations you think are ever going to be launched? Zero.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines here. We've got Mark in Livingston next up. Mark, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it to the attention. Politics and influence locally. In Livingston, they're having a town hall meeting this evening at 5:30 at the courthouse downstairs, and they're proposing on raising our taxes for the third time. That's totally unjustified, primarily being is we have all these new city trucks, we have a new city building, and we have new city employees, and I don't work for the city. They work for us. And people of Livingston need to show up and let these individuals know who works for who. I just want to bring that to the attention of the community, and I appreciate you being able to get that out there. Thank you.
No, thanks for calling in. Yeah, you just got a feel for people that are trapped in these blue cities where they constantly want to raise your taxes. Missoula, they just approved their budget, John. 16% increase in taxes in Missoula. And Livingston, he's talking a blue city where they want to raise your taxes even more. I think one of the best ideas that I've seen talked about more recently here with regard to property taxes is they need to have some sort of a requirement that if they're going to raise your taxes, you need to have a supermajority vote of the people in order to raise your taxes. This mob rule, we got 51%. Sorry, you got to pay 16% more. That has to stop, if you ask me.
Well, you're triggering me here. You know you're triggering me, right? I mean, that's my thing, right? And they do that all the time with these levies, too. These, our hospitals, schools, won't you please think of the children? You know, it's a tax. They're taxing you. Every time you see levy, think tax. It's like I told you here a couple months ago. I don't care if that levy is for a shelter for homeless, lesbian, alcoholic, teenage alcoholics. I don't care. No, not one more penny.
Well, and here's the deal. Like in Missoula, you know, to be fair, the biggest part of their tax increase was they kicked it to the voters to give more money to the firefighters. Yeah, give more money to the firefighters. But Missoula has plenty of room in their city budget, as City Council Member Sandy Vasica pointed out. They could cut the budget in several different ways and give more money to the firefighters. But they don't want to do that. They want to keep taking your money from you and say, oh, you want the firefighters to get money? We're going to charge you extra for that. You know, it's always the extra. Next up, let's go to Valerie in Kalispell. Valerie, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Aaron. Great show today. I just want to say a couple things really quick. I volunteered at the fair up here in Kalispell over the weekend for the GOP booth, and it was just really fun. There was a pretty popular booth, actually. We had a big, one of the big cardboard cutouts of Trump there, and all these kids wanted to take pictures with him and just people. And somebody took, like, a sticky note with some red Sharpie on it and stuck it on his ear, on purpose.
With the bandage, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. That was really cool. But, again, I was handing out voter, pamphlets and stuff, voter guides, and so many people are so informed of here. It's awesome, and I know a lot of it is because of your show, and I just love being here where people are so informed.
The Flathead's incredible. Not just beautiful, but beautiful people as well, right? All right, quick break. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Our neighbors to the north in Canada are watching a clock tick down as Canada may be heading towards a rail stoppage. Canadian Pacific Kansas City may lock out rail traffic engineers and controllers if no agreement is reached with the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference by this Thursday. Both the CPKC and Canadian National Lines have started preparing for work stoppages, including issuing embargoes and shutting down operations. The potential rail lockout is being watched by farmers in both Canada and the United States. If the lockout occurs, it could impact U.S. rail traffic, particularly cross-border shipments, given the reliance on rail trade between the two countries.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mail and cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Yeah, I know, Sean is the host, but the real star is Linda, the producer. Catch them both on The Sean Hannity Show, weekday afternoons 1 to 4 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We do have Penny Nance, the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America, on the phone lines. We'll get to her in just a second, but I know Valerie in Kalispell had one more quick point she wanted to make. So, Valerie, thanks for sticking around.
Thank you. Let's see. Just really quick, you know, every day in my mailbox and in my email box, I get, you know, 10 letters for donations and 10 emails for donations. And, you know, and then I one thing I wonder about how, you know, Sheehy and Tester, you know, like spending so much money on sending big, huge flyers to the same exact people every day. But mostly my question is, like, how do you know even who to vote for? There's so, I mean, not who to vote for, but where to donate. Not locally, I don't worry about it so much, but, you know, with, like, Trump mail, Trump emails, there's so many different, you know,
that's
organizations.
A good point.
I don't give it to anybody. I don't know who's real.
Yeah, because there's a lot of scammer outfits out there. Yeah, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're going to get blasted with, you know, text messages that say, oh, yeah, click here to donate to Trump or click here to donate to Kamala or whatever. Well, how do you know what is legit and what isn't? John, you raised your hand. You say you got an answer for her there?
Yeah, go on Donald Trump's Twitter account. He's tweeting again now, and he puts out the links that go right to him.
And if you're at the Trump rally, they make it very clear. I think even on RSPN, I think they even share some of that specific information. Yeah, it's a good question. All right. Let's see. Let's jump right into it. Great to have Penny Nance with us on the phone lines. President and CEO of Concerned Women for America. Penny, you're bringing the big pink bus to Bozeman tonight, 6:30 at the Gallatin County Fairgrounds. What's bringing you to town?
Well, you know, it's so great to be for any reason in Montana. We're always happy to come, and this is not our first trip because Montana is such an important state, and you're all talking about that earlier today, and you've got a big Senate race. But, you know, women are an important demographic. The side of our bus says she prays, she votes. And we want to remind conservative women, women of faith, that we have to vote. Women have carried every presidential election since 1964 and certainly impact all the down ballot races. And so we really want to sort of wake up women out of their pews and remind them what's at stake. On the back of our bus, it says, honk if you know what a woman is. And we've gotten a lot of honks across the country. We've gotten a few fingers on the way. And that's okay. Freedom of speech. But it's shocking where we are in this country that people refuse to even admit there's a biological difference between men and women. At our event tonight, you'll meet a beautiful young woman who works for our organization and was with Young Women for America, our collegiate chapters. And she was a collegiate volleyball player. She just graduated. And when she tried out in front of college scouts, they put her against a biological man, a man, who had been identified as a woman. And he, of course, was, you know, shoving the ball down her throat. The men's volleyball net, and I didn't know this, is 7 inches higher than a woman's net. And so when he played against her, of course, in front of all the college scouts, he was able to play so much better. He's bigger, stronger, better oxygenated blood. I mean, biology is real. We follow the science. And so that's just one of many issues. I know you have an abortion initiative a ballot initiative coming up in November. Here in Montana, we are pro-life women. We have to stand up and speak up for the things we believe in. And certainly we're living in a very tough economy and in a nation that is crumbling because of crime. Women all over this country, in Montana and around the country, say the number one issue for them is, number one is crime, number two is immigration.
Well, and certainly we see the wide open southern border driving the drugs, which is driving the crime. We're even seeing that in places like beautiful Bozeman, Montana. You wouldn't even think of that as you're driving through there on that big pink bus. You know, it's really interesting. I've talked to as I've been traveling the state doing a series of events myself over the past few months, I'm amazed at it. back in the day, the radio kind of consultants would tell you, well, talk radio, it typically is a older male-dominated format. I'm amazed at the number of women that listen to this show, listen to talk radio, listen to this show, and are engaged in the elections and more. And the husband's kind of kicked back, sitting back, waiting for them to tell them what's going on. Women are, especially in the last 3 to 4 years, are hyper-engaged here in Montana. And I think it's because they're targeting children. And the lockdowns and the harm that caused to kids, I think that woke up women probably more than anything.
Yes, the mama bears, and also not just people who are mothers, but, you know, we're aunts and friends. And what we're seeing is that our young people, who would have thought it, I mean, I'm saying that ironically, we all knew that the very group of people who was least at risk, being shut in, being kept online, but not away from their friends, away from their churches, of course it was going to hurt them. And we're still seeing the fallout from that. And of course, it's the children that are in more marginal neighborhoods. Those are the ones that suffer the most. I mean, they're 2 years behind in school around this country. And, you know, how are we going to ever catch them up?
And they're targeting girls' sports. They want to take away girls' sports opportunities. And who typically, I mean, you know, hey, it's, you know, both men and women, you know, my wife and I both do grocery shopping, right? But but women are oftentimes the ones, you know, with three kids in the grocery cart trying to fill that grocery cart. And they see how expensive everything is because of the Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester inflation right now. So it's just real in more ways
100%
than one.
100% true. You know, I grew up in Appalachia. I'm a preacher's kid from Appalachia, and I grew up in a family that sometimes we had to put groceries back if we didn't have enough money to pay for it. And women are experiencing that all over this country, and they're furious about it. And they know they were better off 4 years ago, and you can show them whatever chart you want to show them and sweet talk them, but they know the truth of the situation for their family. And also, it's moms who are driving their kids at O-Dark 30 to swim practice or to track practice, and suddenly they're being undermined by boys. It's not right. And we're the people that understand the unique dignity of women. We embrace our femininity, and we're standing up for girls everywhere.
Well, it's so great that you're here in Montana. Montana is so important for saving our country this year. Penny Nantz, the CEO and the president of Concerned Women for America. She's going to be joined by several other great speakers, Annabelle Rutledge, Macy Petty, Jesse Jane Duff, who is the executive director of Veterans for Trump, and more importantly, our good friend Heather Nauert, who lives here in Montana, a former spokesperson for the Trump State Department. So it's going to be a great event, 6:30 tonight at the Gallatin County Fairgrounds, the She Prays, She Votes rally. Penny, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, we're so excited to have Heather Nauert, who is so experienced and really a great person to talk about what's happening in foreign policy. We didn't even get into that today, but
that's
we look
right.
forward to seeing you, your viewers, your listeners tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, good point. Foreign policy. John, bringing our friend John Jackson back into the conversation here. We're on the brink of World War III. And the Democrats want to draft your daughters. I think I remember us talking about that topic a little while ago on the radio. I can't imagine a lot of moms out there are thinking, yay, take away our girls' sports and then draft them into World War III. Golf clap.
Yeah, you watch. What they're going to do is they're going to kick everything. You know, there's going to be another CR here, you know, here at the end of September. And that'll include that portion in the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, where they were going to slip in that bit about drafting now women in case there was a draft. They're going to slip that in, but it'll be past the election where if you don't like it, tough. You got nothing to say for the next 2 years.
We had Dave and Brockway was talking about Dan Wilson, candidate for justice on the Montana Supreme Court. The Puff Man with some more good information. The Puff, you got to tune into KSCN Radio in Shelby one of these days. You'll hear Puffer on the radio on KSCN. But he says Dan Wilson is actually going to be in Shelby this afternoon as well, 1 o'clock at the Coyote Lanes in Shelby. So doing a little meet and greet there. So he's getting out and talking to folks all across the High Line. Sounds like good deal.
Well, speaking of those races, that's a big point. Now, here we are, you know, coming up to September, here the end of August. People have got to turn out here in November. Get those ballots are probably being delivered to your home. If you're here in Montana, take that thing and fill it out. If you don't know who some of those people are, call somebody. You've got to fill that ballot out because, okay, we know Donald Trump, say Donald Trump's going to win here in Montana, but you know what? If they get in there and they control that Senate, if John Tester wins again and they control that Senate, the Democrats have the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. This country, as you know it, is over.
Oh, one thing I forgot. Penny Nance, I should have brought this up on air. She told me during the break while I was chatting with her, they started their big pink bus tour in Milwaukee at the GOP convention where they were handing out Bibles. Now, compare that to the DNC where they're passing out free abortions, free vasectomies, and all sorts of other stuff that's going on there with the pro-Hamas protesters, etc.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple of callers on the phone lines that stayed with us through that last interview there. So thanks for sticking on the phone lines with us there because we had to get to our guest. Let's see. Let's go to Kevin in Billings, I think was first up. Kevin, what's going on?
So last night at the city council meeting here in Billings under the Community Development Overview Program, it was revealed or announced that now HUD and CDBG funding has a component in it that they have to, these cities have to demonstrate their inclusion and equity program, an environmental justice program, and a climate change program in order to get this federal funding.
Wow. And what's the federal funding for?
Well, it's going to be for HUD or
for housing,
CDBG funding, which deals with some of the low-income community development block grant money. All of that money now is tied to these programs that you have to demonstrate what you're doing and how you're addressing those.
Wow. So basically...
So you better implement our
racist policies or else you don't get funding for low-income housing. That sounds about par for the course of this administration.
Yep. That's what's happening. So when this stuff starts showing up, you wonder where it's coming from. Well, this is another lane they're coming down.
Well, and then the liberals on the city council can say, oh, our hands are tied behind our back. Yeah, we got to do this or we don't get the money. Well, look, we've pushed back in other categories. I mean, Title IX, for example, they were saying either you allow boys in the girls' bathrooms or you don't get your education funding. We said, we're not doing that. And you know what, John? We won. And Attorney General Austin Knutson, they took it all the way to Supreme Court. We won. So the city should push back, apply for the funding, and refuse to implement any of these racist policies.
Let me get this straight now. They're threatening us, saying if we don't do what they want, we don't get money to have more slums in town. Is that what I'm hearing now? Good. We don't want that money. I don't want more slums in my town. Good. See ya. Bye bye.
Wait, you mean there won't be more housing for illegal aliens? Where are we going to put John Tester's wannabe voters if we don't get the racist funding from HUD?
Don't throw me in a bar patch. I mean, geez.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Hey, Puffer gave me an update. I mispronounced the meeting location. It's not the Coyote. See, you know, most Montanans, we say Coyote, not Coyote. But this one, it's pronounced Coyote. Like the Roadrunner, you know, from the cartoons, Wile E. Coyote. Okay, there we go. Or like the Drug Runner Coyotes, speaking of John Tester's buddies. but anyway, no, it's apparently, yeah, they've got the Roadrunner Cafe. That sounds kind of cool. I want to run in there. That sounds great. All right, let's see. Scott. See, I hear food and I get distracted. All right. Scott in Columbia. Oh, no, wrong phone line. Scott is on line one. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron, thanks for taking my call. I've seen Tim Sheehy at the rally. He's great. He's golden. Montana has to have Tim Sheehy. He even is for women in women's sports and men in men's sports. And John Tester, I call him John Testicle, but he's a gut bomb. He's getting stuffed full of lobbyist money, and he's just getting fatter and fatter. I hate to say fatter, but like Trump said, he's got a big gut.
Well, Trump said you're not allowed to call him fat. That'll end your political career, so you can't call him fat. But that was one of the Trump lines at the rally. I've said this, you know, frequently. Like, his big old belly was always kind of an endearing thing, John. You know, most people, like, they don't want people, you know, kind of commenting on people's weight or whatever. But I think where it hurts John Tester is he is living high on the hog, $1.2 million in fancy Washington, D.C. restaurant bills. Well, young moms back here in Montana can't afford to fill up their grocery cart.
Yeah, but come on, Aaron. Now, we're not talking here, you know, a couple of LBs.
Okay, hold on one second. Clutch your pearls. This, whenever John is with us, it is the most unwoke hour of the week. All right, proceed, please.
We're not talking about a couple of LBs overweight here. We are talking like beach ball, pregnant with twins at 9 months thing going on here. When he claims to be this hardworking rancher, how many hardworking ranchers do you know look like that? No, they're all lean and thin and muscular because they're working their butts off all day long.
Well, I did like the line that Ryan Zinke used. I was listening to Zinke when he was on with David Noble last Friday when I was driving out to the lake. Adam Schiff here, I'm saying Schiff like Adam Schiff, he said that John Tester is 350 pounds of bull Schiff. That's how he's described him. Minimum.
I mean, I always wonder, where does he get those 8-foot-long ties? Because you got to have that tie that goes around you, but then it's got to get all the way over that gut.
That's what the Chinese use to tie down their spy balloons. So that's where you discount rack. It's the discount rack.
That's that tweet somebody put out with the Chinese spy balloon with the
John Tester. So State Senator Marianne Dunwell, the Democrats at the Democrat convention, I'm trying to get her on the show. I shot her a message, but they got stuck on the bus. They couldn't get into the convention on time because all the protesters breached the security perimeter. And then what did Kamala do at the restaurant?
Oh, well, she had to clear out everybody at the sandwich restaurant up there in Philly because they had to bring in all of her paid actors to act like they were the customers in the restaurant when she went in there. And everybody that was in there got kicked out, was really mad about it, too.
Oh, man. She had to kick out the people eating at the restaurant so she could have fake, phony, paid supporters in there. Donald Trump doesn't need to do that.